Moving completely away from any FI angle now, which is nice. Agenda paper 11, Jabbard.
All right, thank you. So we'll move on to agenda paper 11 on IF-28. The submitter asked whether and how a fund manager assesses if it has significant influence over a fund that it manages and has a direct investment in. The facts are such that the fund manager does not have control or joint control of the fund. The committee discussed this issue previously in 2014 and 2015. But decided to put the issue on hold and monitor the board research project on the equity method of accounting. We have revisited this issue now because we do not see any benefit in leaving this issue on hold until further progress is made on that research project. That research project is now part of the board research pipeline. The requirements in IFRS 10 that specifically address how a decision maker determines whether it controls an investee seem to have given more prominence to this question about significant influence. So we first assess whether these requirements in IFRS 10 affect how a fund manager assesses significant influence over the fund. We concluded that they should not have an impact on this analysis, and our analysis is presented in paragraphs 11 to 19 of the agenda paper. We then assess whether the committee should undertake a separate project to develop requirements for decision makers to assess significant influence. That analysis is presented in paragraphs 20 to 23 of the agenda paper. In our view, this project would not be a narrow scope project. We think such requirements could not be developed in isolation of undertaking a more comprehensive review of the definition of significant influence, and it would also very likely involve consideration of the scope of the equity method project, of the equity method of accounting. For this reason, we think the issue does not meet the criteria, agenda criteria, and we recommend not to take this issue onto the agenda. I'd also like to highlight that the board and the project team responsible for the research project are aware of this issue, and the wording for the proposed tentative agenda decision is outlined in Appendix A. I would now like to ask if you agree with our recommendation not to add this issue to the agenda, and if you have any comments on the proposed wording of the tentative agenda decision.
So I understand the issue of having to finalize an agenda decision that was previously characterized as a work in progress. I agree with the direction the staff is leading us towards. So I agree with finalizing the agenda decision not to add this issue. I guess I just have concerns, issues with the wording in the agenda decision. I would have preferred taking the January 2015 agenda decision and simply changing the last paragraph. The last paragraph is the one that states that the ISB currently has a research project, so basically this is on hold. And the reason why is before that, I like the wording in January better than this one, because it highlights for me what I think is really the root issue. I don't think the root issue really is what is significant influence. I think the root issue is how do you view an agency relationship. And I think January agenda decision has a sentence in there, the last sentence in the penultimate paragraph, that really highlights that, that isn't totally carried forward in the agenda decision you proposed. It's the sentence, so sorry to be not being clear. It's on whether and how a power to participate in financial and operating policy decisions that is held in the capacity of an agent should affect the assessment of significance. That was pretty important to me.
Now we...
You do, it's not exactly in the new one. I don't think it's exactly the what...
It's not
how I would prefer.
We have worded it as decision-making authority delegated to the fund manager in the penultimate paragraph that IFRND does not contain any requirement that's perfectly addressed.
I read that sentence as more focused on significant influence than the delegation.
We've had one other, and by the way, I think we can go back and clearly look at those words. We've had one other suggestion, actually, you know, since posting this paper around drafting that might, on the agenda, that might help your point. It's maybe not exactly the same, but the suggestion was, so if I look in the agenda decision, if anybody's looking at the third paragraph, so it's the one that starts, the Interpretation Committee noted that unlike IFRS 10, there was a suggestion to change the words there to say IS 28 does not contemplate delegated decision-making authority in the assessment of significant influence. I don't know whether that might be kind of...
I don't think it's as good as January, but it does get to the point that I was trying to get to.
Yeah. Did you not like January?
I'll tell you my, and I could be personally being silly about this, so I'll caveat that at the start. The one pause I have about mentioning directly the word age is somehow in the context of talking about IS 28, I suppose, is all we're trying to say is 28, yet simply, you know, in how it was written and when it was written, didn't really think about this. And I think sometimes, and it's maybe not your point, but sometimes I worry that people use principal agent sometimes more colloquially, whereas when we've used it in our standards, we've developed it very much in the context of the particular standard. So principal or agent in IFRS 10 was very much developed in the context of assessing control. Principal or agent in IFRS 15 was very much developed in the context of assessing whether I control a good service before I transfer it. So my only slight pause, which maybe is wrong, is just mentioning kind of that word agent.
But we are using it in the context of 10 here, right? Because it was 10 that was determined you were an agent.
Yeah, because I suppose we're then referring to words in IFRS 10 that say when you conclude you're an agent. So that's my only pause. But
I agree with this staff recommendation. And just to echo on what Robert just said, it's more my remark will just be a formal remark, not something in substance. But effectively, I would have echoed in the current agenda decision, I would have echoed to the previous agenda decision made and presenting very shortly in what it differs eventually. More formal remark.
Okay.
Yeah, if it is, well, a significant kind of accounting policy, how I interpret that, I would also include a hint to IS 1. And in addition, I would also probably add a sentence that this judgment has to be done on a consistent basis across all engagements, because it might be that I'm talking about more than one where the fund manager is responsible for.
Reinhardt?
Yeah, just a similar comment. I agree with finalizing the agenda decision, and I also think it would be helpful to tighten up the wording in that penultimate paragraph, basically to get across the concept that the principal agent concept in IFRS 10 does not apply under IS 28, and so I would just suggest tightening that wording up.
Okay, Tony.
Yeah, I agree with where the staff has got to. I'd actually probably go a step beyond where Bob got to. I'm not sure that you could address the implications of delegated authority without addressing the definition of significant influence and the power to participate. So I think it is a broader question that would get into the definition of significant influence if we tried to address it. So I'm comfortable with where the staff has got to. I think I share the comments of Reinhardt and Bob around just being clear in the words that that there is nothing that addresses the notion of delegated authority. I don't feel too strongly about whether we use the word principal agent or not, but it doesn't address delegated authority.
Okay, thank you. Young Sue?
I just want to say I agree with this staff analysis and conclusion. the IS 28 is not as complete as the other standard. It should be overhauled, to my, you know, to my opinion, so that any new requirement without a comprehensive review of 28 is going to cause another problem. So that I agree with the staff analysis.
Okay, thank you. Andrew?
Similarly, I agree with where the staff have got to and with many of the other comments that have been made. The only thing that I would just caution slightly against is that however the final agenda decision is worded, if we could draw back, just say that that principal agent isn't addressed in IS 28, but avoid saying it doesn't apply.
Yeah, that's what we were trying to get at by saying, you know, it doesn't include specific requirements. It's clearly what it isn't.
Tony, did you want to come in again?
Oh, no, sorry.
No? Okay. Everyone's done very well with the Toblerones, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Maria.
It's okay. Just as on the topic discussed before, I think it might be interesting to add some disclosure and based on ES 122, because you have to disclose the judgment you made on your accounting principle. I think you can add this one as well, so that you will have disclosure on the judgment made by the entity on that topic if it's significant.
Yeah. So that if it's a significant judgment, then remind them of that paragraph.
Yeah, I think we could point to that. I think that might be better, Martin, just to let you know, on your point about accounting policy, my nervousness about what you suggested was implying it's accounting policy choice, which I don't think it is. I think you're assessing significant influence. You just don't have anything specific requirements to help you, so I think we could refer to that.
Much as we'd like it. Okay, Mikelda, do you have anything you wanted to add on this topic, paper 11?
No, not more than I agree with the staff recommendation.
Great, okay. So with those wording suggestions, which the staff will take on board, can I get a show of hands from the committee on whether they agree with the staff's recommendation not to add the issue to the agenda? Thank you very much.